This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we have a preview of our weekend radio show Inside Appalachia. In this episode, we visit communities impacted by creation of flood control lakes, like the village of Lily, where back in the 1940s, about 40 families were pushed off their land along the Bluestone River in Summers County, West Virginia. Many of these families had lived there for more than 200 years. Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly has deep roots to this community, as she explains in the story.
Yeah, you might recognize the name. These are my people. This is a part of my family's history and my heritage. The federal government told the residents at the village of Lily they had to make room for a new dam a few miles upstream so it could protect other communities from flooding.
A lot of people, of course, I don't reckon they drug them away screaming and hollering, but, you know, a lot of people was very upset to have to leave up there.
That's Douglas Wayne Harvey with the Summers County Historical Society. He goes by Wayne. He carries with him ancient documents and records, and he knows all kinds of details about our family's history. His gray beard gently moves above his neatly pressed dress shirt as he explains the history.
A lot of people didn't want to leave up there, and didn't want to leave the river, and some of them lived through floods before, and they went right back.
The residents at the village of Lily were upset for several reasons. First, they were disturbed by how the federal government treated the remains from their ancient cemetery when it was relocated. I visited the cemetery and found marked graves of my family, but there were also rows of unmarked graves with simple sticks and tiny metal rectangles that only identified the remains with a number. Village itself, there's hardly any trace at all. Years ago, families lined the river. There was a schoolhouse and a church. Wayne says his father used to tell stories about the people and happenings in Lily, like pie suppers.
Now, what's a pie supper? Is that when you just have dessert for supper?
They had various activities at those pie suppers. They'd have, like, you know, so-called pretty girl and stuff like that, where some girl would make a, you know, maybe a pie or something, and whoever successfully bid in her pie got to eat the pie with her, and various activities, you know, just things to raise some money and help with the school, you know.
But the pie suppers and farm living as they knew it ended when the Army Corps of Engineers showed up and announced the town would be flooded after the Bluestone Dam was built. The dam has provided flood control for many other communities, including the railroad town of Hinton and Charleston, the state capital. Many of the Lillies and other families who lived in the village moved to Raleigh or Wyoming counties, and come to find out, the land wasn't even flooded. Now it's the property of the National Park Service. So to find out more about where they first lived in this region, I went on a hike to retrace the steps of the Lilly family who were believed to settle this area more than 200 years ago. And I took along my Aunt Kay, who now lives in Kentucky.
This seems so remote, though. Mm-hmm. It seems like they would totally have to be totally self-sufficient, you know?
Kay is my father's older sister. He's passed away now, but sometimes he would tell me that I was just like my Aunt Kay, bold and tough. Well, okay, they just called it a temper when I was younger. But anyway, neither my Aunt Kay nor I had ever been to this place where our family used to live. So we needed some help getting around and finding our way. So Dave Beery with the National Park Service showed us around.
So we're right at the junction with the Little Bluestone, where that comes in and meets the Bluestone River. So we're kind of sitting right here now, and you see the town was all around this area. So it really, I mean, it wasn't, when you say a town, I don't think it was this all just one spot. It was really spread out over this whole area. And then way out into the outlying areas, too, you know, lots of little farms all around the area.
Dave says most of the families who lived here were subsistence farmers. They lived off the land and grew most of their food themselves. Apparently, this land along the river was pretty good farmland. Legend has it that the Lilies arrived here with just an axe, a gun, and a Bible.
I mean, I can't even imagine what it would have been like coming down here back in the 1700s. You know, this area was the frontier back then. It was really a wilderness. You had to be pretty resourceful to survive back then. You know, there was nothing here.
We walk over a wooden bridge to get to a trail along the river. This path was the same taken by residents in the village of Lily. But even before my family came here, the path was used by Native Americans for thousands of years.
So there's actually a lot of history through here. And that's the thing that, to me, makes it so fascinating walking these trails. Every time I walk this trail, I think of the, you know, footsteps I'm following, that, you know, thousands of years. If the first people were here, end of the last ice age, maybe 10,000 years ago, people were first starting to wander through here. And this was the same route they took. There's not many other places you can walk except for this nice little bench right along the river here. So you're walking in the footsteps of a whole lot of people before us.
Dave says there was likely some fighting between white settlers and the natives. But by the time my people got here, most of the Native Americans who used this land for hunting had already been pushed into other territories. We walk along a path and come to a place where we find a patch of pawpaw trees. Dave says there are apple trees here too, most likely planted by my relatives. As I looked at the pawpaw trees and noticed an apple or two along the trail, I began to get really emotional. Dave says when the Lilies were pushed off their land, they weren't allowed back, not even to pick the apples they planted.
There was orchards down here with apple trees. And he said when the government came in and told them they had to leave, this was early, you know, right around 1940 or so. And then after they got everybody out of here, World War II broke out and they kind of diverted resources and they weren't building the dam for a while. So it was years later, in the late 1940s, before they actually came down and built the dam. And according to this person, they didn't let the people that lived here come back into that area again. And one of the things they were really upset about was these apple trees that still had apples on them and weren't being harvested.
And it's interesting that that's what bothered them, is that there was food down here just going to waste.
My daddy never, well, that I can think of, he never wasted anything, and he taught me how to live the same. And I can't help but to wonder if this is part of where that came from, that my family was so resourceful, they just couldn't stand the thought of all these apples, food, just going to waste, rotting on the ground, uneaten.
My thought was that how strong the Lily clan was and how hardworking they were, you know. I mean, just imagine how much rougher they had it than we do, you know, and we cry over nothing sometimes. So I think they were pretty tough, and I take pride in it.
We find pretty much no trace of the people who lived here more than 70 years ago. But sometimes in the springtime, Dave says he does see daffodils growing here in the middle of the forest.
That kind of touches my heart, but just knowing that some lady had planned them, wanting her house to be pretty, you know, and her mark's still here. That's awesome.
We've been listening to an excerpt from the latest episode of the Inside Appalachia podcast, where host Jessica Lilly, along with her aunt Kay, retrace their family roots to the former village of Lily. To listen to the rest of this story, tune in this Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Known as the Titan of the Telecaster, Bill Kirchen's guitar work has found its way onto everything from rock and pop to rockabilly and country. Here he is on a recent mountain stage as Kirchen performs Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changin'.
You roam and admit that the water's around eyes with your pen. Just keep your eyes wide. Chance won't come again. Don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. There's no telling her that the name.
That was Bill Kirchen performing The Times They Are a Change and live on Mountain Stage. You can hear that and more tonight and tomorrow night at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Jesse Wright, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, and Roxy Todd. Our producer is Glenna Sport. I'm Teresa Wills.